Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and Andre Kleiner's online. Hey, Andre.
Hey, Fred. Hey. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well. I've been working on updating the Ascendo site, AscendoReliability.com site, because we've got close to 15, 20 authors, or close to 20 authors, I should say. And there's a bunch of different article topics and series of columns and stuff that people are writing on. And I noticed that we have some people like myself that are writing about reliability topics. There's a couple of people coming on. One's a new author, and Chris Jackson's been writing about it for a bit, is on safety. And then Greg Hutchins and his band of authors have been doing a series on risk and risk management. And, you know, they're all related, yet the articles themselves often take very different views of what an organization should do or how a product should behave or so on. But, you know, they're all related, because if a product is not reliable and it fails and it becomes a safety problem, it has the risk of a recall and financial damage and all kinds of problems. So
yeah,
they're related, right?
I think the term, is dependability. And I think there was also kind of another term, performability. Performability. I think there's a journal of performability engineering, but people keep coming up with the new terminology. But I think it's good to talk about reliability, risk, and safety kind of in as a complex topic and kind of one breath. Discuss them, because I work in the transportation industry, and it seems like all those three things you need to consider while you're doing design and testing and development and all that stuff. Right. So
very true. And before we dive into it, let's create a little space here, and we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Fred here. Are you looking for just the right book, conference, degree program, journal, or other reliability related resource? There's a lot out there, and unless you know where to look, and you'll find a limited set of options. Ascendo Reliability has a top 10 resources listing for 10 different categories of professional development. Find out what is available today at ascendoreliability.com/go/resources.
You know, I was just thinking, Andre, is that I don't think this interrelationship between reliability, risk, and safety is unique to the transportation industry. There's the medical industry, even if somebody making a power tool for a home craftsman, say a skill saw.
They all relate. Hurt yourself. Yeah, absolutely. It just something came. I've been working in the transportation industry most of my life, so it's like the first thing comes to mind. But there are other industries which actually have to think of all those three together and use them as a consideration. So all three, and we've been in the automotive industry, we've been looking at this thing lately because of the functional safety standards, which you probably heard me griping about.
That's right. I got to find that episode, add it to the show notes.
And what's interesting is I was actually before this podcast, I was looking at the definitions of risk and safety, because there's a good definition of reliability. It's a probability that bad things will happen. Good thing will happen.
Well, come on, Andre. It's on page one of yours and O'Connor's book. It's Let's.
Yeah. So we have a good definition of reliability, but right. But when you look at the definition of safety and the definition of risk, it's not that simple. It's not that straightforward. Mm-hmm. Safety is like you look at 10 different definitions. I mean, clearly we're talking about being free from injury or harm, but again, there's no good technical definition. With risk, it's a little bit different. There's still no clear definition. It's not like probability, but this is more like a two-dimensional probability. It's one dimension is the probability of things happening or unreliability, and another dimension is the consequence. Mm-hmm. So the way I kind of like to think about this is that if you have a coordinate system, when on x-axis you have reliability or unreliability, and on the other axis you have consequence, and that might be safety, then in this case, your risk is something in the middle.
Now, I disagree a little bit that there are some definitions now of risk and safety that I think are taking shape. And you mean you outline the basics of them, but there's new ISO standards that you've mentioned, or new standards you've mentioned around safety and product safety and things like that. And I'm sure there's a clear definition in there. Maybe multiple ones. In risk, it's the ISO standard. Oh, what's it? 14,000, I think it is, in that series. And they have risk management, and it's as you mentioned, it's the duality of, well, what's, you can avoid risk by just having the event not happen. Like if the product doesn't fail, it doesn't cause a problem. But when it does fail, well, what's the consequence? But risk goes beyond product reliability. It moves into that realm of business risk. Well, what if this product is perfectly reliable? It just doesn't have the right feature set. You know, we take business risk launching a new product, or if a competitor comes on the scene, or a trade barrier goes up and we lose the advantages of manufacturing in another country. There's all kinds of risks that impact how we create products and provide services that are not related directly to reliability, but they're certainly interconnected. And I think the same is around safety. There's plenty of things that are a knife, and my kitchen knife is inherently unsafe, right? I don't let my toddler play with knives very much, but it's right. It's not.
Yeah,
the knife's fault.
You're right, but I'm afraid if we start widening those definitions, we won't be able to kind of focus or maybe kind of bring any technical sense.
Well, I think they're a Venn diagram, right? I'm thinking that. Let's use that as I think that's where you're heading, is that reliability, risk, and safety, they do overlap and they do interact with each other.
Yeah, but they also, what I found, and again, going back to those functional safety standards, that sometimes they can contradict in your objectives may actually kind of don't really go together well, even though it sounds like reliability, risk, and safety all interrelated, and you're pursuing one, that means you're pursuing another one. And one example is that to make things a lot safer, you can bring in redundancy, right? Mm-hmm. So the more redundancy you have, the safer it is. But at the same time, when we design a product, there's a cost considerations, correct? So when we actually bring redundancy, the cost goes up. And if maybe you can do something like that in the aerospace industry when you're designing an airplane, but if you're designing a vehicle, you don't really have a lot of options to do redundancy, and that's where those things start contradicting, and that's where you start looking for kind of optimal solution. You need to crank up your reliability because that decreases the probability of things going wrong. Then that consequence a consequence stays the same, but overall your risk goes down.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm also thinking it's not just cost. I mean, adding redundancy, yeah, it affects cost, but it makes it more complicated. It's harder to repair. It's harder to diagnose. It's harder to manage and operate. Or it could be just that we make it heavier, or we make more guards or more safeguards, or it fails safe, for example, features of that. And those extra elements of the design are just other opportunities to fail altogether. So it might be that the function we want, say a circular saw, but if it says, oh, I don't like the voltage coming in from the line circuit, so I'm not going to start, I lose the functionality because of a safety feature, and I'll call that a reliability problem because it's not working. I might be safer, yet I lose increase the fit number of perceived failures of the product just because it's more complicated, or it's more heavy, or it's more costly, or whatever.
Yeah, and if you add a diagnostic system, then you need to consider reliability of that diagnostic system.
That's right.
It does complicate things. So that's basically what I mean by contradicting objectives. And we ran into this with functional safety, where basically the requirement for ASIL-D, and ASIL stands for Automotive Safety Integrity Level, mm-hmm. is set to the level where actually your reliability target is pretty much unrealistic, because it's actually reliability is higher than the reliability of single component. So I have to do redundancy.
Well, Andre, you guys got to quit using Microsoft Windows 95. That might help a little bit, you know. Hopefully it's better than that. But, you know, you're right, though. It's
in Mill Handbook 217, right?
That's right, yeah. But we set, you know, these unrealistic expectations that we want and force us into paths that make things more complicated. But some of that's driven by customers' perceptions. I think some of the barriers that I've read about and heard about are people's acceptance of self-driving vehicles is that it's got to be so good that we never have an issue with it. And the automobile folks that are making these vehicles are saying, hey, look, we've done these 10 million miles on the road, and it's three times safer than when a person's driving the same number of miles. It's not enough of a difference to get overcome the perception or the loss of, you know, the perceived risk is that if I don't have control, it's a risk. Whereas in actuality, from the evidence I've seen, is that when you don't have control, you're actually safer.
Yeah, and I think it's also part of the expectations, because when people say self-driving cars, for some reason their expectations are a lot higher than to a vehicle which is driven by a human. Mm-hmm. So it's like people say, "Oh, I never get into a self-driving car," even though statistically they're already better than humans.
There's a few taxi drivers I'm glad I survived the ride.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. There's this, I think that's what lays over the top of this triad of reliability, safety, and risk is our expectations. And in different circumstances and industries, our perceptions change. If it's a drone delivery service, right? I may really love the convenience of that, and then also not like the noise it makes or the possibility it crashes and burns lands in an inappropriate place on my head. So we can't have both, though. If we want high reliability, it takes technology and taking some risks with our products to actually make that work. If we want super safety, well, even a lead brick is dangerous if somebody picks it up and throws it at you.
No, exactly. And also going back to the expectations, remember a few months ago, there was it was on the news, then a person died in a self-driving vehicle. I think it's one of the engineers or developers. And there was one death, and it made made basically a national news.
Oh, yeah.
where we have between 30 and 35,000 people dying in automotive accidents every year.
That's right.
And most of them don't make the news. So like I said, that's all expectations. So people expect to feel comfortable with self-driving vehicles. Their perception of risk will need to be changed. So to become more comfortable with that.
Yeah, and there's plenty of stories about that where new technologies, and part of it is just it's new and it's how it's perceived. And it's more of a marketing problem, it seems to me, than anything else. But over time, I think it'll prove out one way or the other, and we'll come around, because the very first automobiles were perceived as exceedingly risky and contraptions and noisy and death traps and scared of livestock and, you know, and they were. But it took years, decades for the acceptance of that. Of vehicles. They were early adopters and hobbyists that created, got them in them first. And I think the problem we have with self-driving cars is that they're on the road right next to us. So they're not on a track someplace. I don't know how we're going to solve that one, but you're right. This relationship thing is they can be contradictions. So what do you propose we do about it? I mean, you raised an issue here, Andre, and you kind of left me hanging because now I'm like, what do we do about
the contradicting objectives of safety and reliability?
Yeah,
I think we need to be practical about this, because just to understand that we need to have realistic targets. And it's never going to be 100% safe or 100% reliable. It just, I don't think it's practical. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, with this functional safety standard, there was a clash between safety and reliability contributors because, again, of this concept of redundancy. If you want to be safe, you need to have redundancy on everything. But again, we need to be cost conscious. So again, to me, it's more of a optimization problem, because again, it's not going to be perfect, but you need to find this, you need to optimize your design when it's reliable enough, when it's safe enough, but at the same time, it doesn't cost you a fortune and still, I mean, still practical.
That's right. Well, I suspect, I want to build on what you just mentioned there, is I think just make it visible, is understand the risk you're taking. In every product, every service, every system we launch has risks. And I think that's coming out of the risk management tools and techniques and standards, is make it visible and have a means to get enough information so that you understand the risk you're taking and make it consciously. And if it's uncertainty, then monitor it and figure out what your scenarios planning type things are to deal with the risks that do manifest themselves. With safety, it's a matter of listening to your customer and understanding what could work and what could go wrong and what could be safety issues. And different industries approach that very differently, but I don't think legislating or creating standards that said thou shalt be 100% safe is realistic. And I think I agree with your practical approach to that. Now, obviously, reliability isn't the only path to cause a recall or a safety issue, yet it is a contributor. And so understanding the role of product reliability into those two other realms is important, and make sure that those associated risks of failure are realistic and well stated. I think hiding problems and ignoring the results of an FMEA study, for example, or saying, oh, that'll never happen, is short-sighted. I think that's where we end up with recalls, is people ignore problems or don't even bother to look for problems. So it is interrelated. It is more complicated than a simple Venn diagram. I certainly agree with that.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier fail-safe. which I think is also very important. So if your product fails, then you need to make sure as a designer that it fails safely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the fears of self-driving cars, that it's a fail unsafe. And people probably picturing things like when the passenger is screaming and that car basically going off the cliff yeah. on its own. So this is definitely a fail not safe. So I think, yeah, if we pay more attention to the concept of fail-safe, that also will help to reduce the risk and improve the safety.
Yeah, you know, it's very true. I think that's a whole nother topic for us, is come back in this concept of fail-safe.
Probably, yeah.
We do that.
Yeah,
that
would be.
You do that every time, Andre. You spark another whole topic. I got my list of topics to talk to you about keeps getting longer and longer, which is a good thing. But we'd also like to hear from our listeners. What would you like us to talk about? If you think another discussion on safety and reliability and risk, we didn't even mention quality in here, because I know that gets interrelated to these topics. Let us know. Head over to reliability.fm and you can find the Speaking of Reliability show and comments fields there. And you can find us on LinkedIn or send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Basically, join us at the grab a cup of coffee and join the discussion. And you can do that in a variety of ways. And we'd love to hear from you. Many of the ideas and topics we talk about with all of the co-hosts it's an increasing number. I'd say it's maybe one or two topics a month are actually sparked by comments we get. And we'd like to have your voice join that conversation. So let us know. And with that, Andre, I think we'll wrap it up here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
As always.
As always. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.